Yeah, this morning I want to talk to you about a few words. The English language, as I've been telling you, is pretty limited in understanding the scriptures, and so we'll do a quick. I'll give you a quick understanding of some stuff that the scriptures talk to us about. And I'm sure it's going to be helpful to all of us. So some Hebrew words that help us to understand what biblical worship is all about. And so, as people are called to follow God, and as followers of Christ, we're called to give our whole lives to Him. Our whole life. We surrender all to Him. We give not only our whole life, we give our whole body. We give our whole mind. We give it to Him. And our worship is that expression of us giving our whole life in terms of our whole body, our whole mind, all of our strength, every part of our being we release to God. And it is a 24/7, 365 process. It is not something that we wait to do once. It's not a once-off event. It's a continuous process and relationship with God our Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. Everybody's excited, I want you to say yes. And so, worship is something that we do privately, something that we do constantly, but a very important part of that process and relationship is when we gather publicly, corporately, as the body of Christ, as the local church, to express praise and glory and honor to Him, like we are doing this morning. We've come together as the body of Christ in this locality, and each one of us needs to be a part of a family. God places the alienated and the lonely into a family. God never works outside of the local church, and the local church is the family of God. And so an important part of our worship is private and constant all the time, but it's also significant when we come together corporately, because in the corporate body of Christ, it's a unique experience and a unique unfolding of God's grace when two or three come together. He manifests Himself. He is present. I want you to say, God is present. So when we come together corporately, this is not entertainment. This is not a show. This is not to attract attention seekers to music, to sound, lights, dance, movement, whatever it is. And increasingly, I've told you that churches all over the world are going to the marketplace and imitating and copying what the marketplace does, and they bring it into the house of the Lord and violate the sanctity and sacredness of worship. Are you listening? Let me say it again. Increasingly globally, what we have is an apostate church, not an apostolic church. Churches are falling away. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Power is not just jumping and raising people from the dead. Power is explained in understanding the purity and original intent and purpose that God had for the church called the local body of Christ. The body of Christ must demonstrate and reveal who Christ is. So, increasingly what we have is people trying to grow churches, not by the scriptures, but what the marketplace says. So they go to the marketplace, they see how the smoke machines work and attract people, so they put in smoke machines. Nothing wrong with smoke machines, right? But that is not worship. You don't find that in the scriptures. Nothing wrong with lights, but that is not worship. Nothing wrong with having good music, but that is not worship. Increasingly, what we have is people who use music, God to worship music. Are you listening to me? We use music to worship God. We don't use God to worship music, because when we do that, we're at a point of error and we've missed the mark. And missing the mark is what? Sin. All right. So, I'm not saying don't enjoy yourself. You need to enjoy being in the house of God. You need to enjoy worship. But you can't imitate and copy secular, pagan, and fallen systems and bring it into the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is a unique entity. It's not a building. It's the people of God who are redeemed, called out of darkness, to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Are you listening? All right. So, we're not spectators. We come when we come into the house of the Lord. Say, I'm not a spectator. We're not spectators because we are participants. If you're a follower of Christ and you've come into the house of the Lord, wherever you go, whether it's Delhi, Dallas, or Durban, wherever you go to the house of the Lord, the local church, you are a participant, never a spectator, because this is not a show. This is not entertainment. This is worship. There's a huge difference. And so, we are participants because we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a chosen generation. We are God's own special people. The King James Version will say that we are a peculiar people, which actually means we are God's own personal possession. We belong to Him. He possesses us. We are possessed by Him. Everybody's okay. And so we become participants. We are never spectators. You can't go to church corporately and fold your hands and go off to sleep. No, every fiber of your being is connecting with the purposes of God. Every second, there should be a pulsation of grace, a rhythm of grace that attracts us more and more to Him through the music and the sound and His presence. It draws us closer to Him. Everybody's okay. All right. And so, brothers and sisters, the outward expression of our praise and our adoration and our worship to God reflects the inward content and position of our heart. You see, where our hearts is will Because it is out of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so where our heart is with God will show up in the way we express our praise to Him. And so if your heart is far from God, it's very difficult to connect with grace that manifests in the house when you come together corporately. You'll be in the place, but not in the place, because your heart is not in place. And so it becomes a necessity for us to get our hearts connected to the heart of God. And that is true worship. When your heart pulsates in rhythm with the heart of God, it is not how loud you sing or how soft you sing. It's not that you can sing, you know, like Celine Dion or Whitney Houston. It's not that kind of, excellence. But it's your heart, the content of your heart, the substance. It's your offering of praise. It's your sacrifice of praise. Because in the Old Testament, you couldn't bring an offering into the temple that had blemish, that was imperfect, that was defected. Are you listening? It was wholesome. It was healthy. And so our worship is always a sacrifice of praise. It's sacrificial. You have to bring something to God that is always acceptable to Him, and the aroma must be pleasing to His nostrils. Everybody's okay? All right. So, also, it's not something when you worship God, it's not something where you say, it's not dependent on your feelings or your emotions. You don't say, this morning, because we didn't have breakfast, I feel so weak, I don't have the energy to worship God. Or, you know what happened to my wife this morning? She burnt the toast, and as she was reversing, the car, our Porsche, got smashed. Therefore, I can't. No, it's not dependent on how you feel. It's a choice of attitude. It's a choice that you make. I will be a worshiper, because the Father seeks worshipers. And I want to be the person that the Father is looking out for, because His eyes travel to and fro on the earth, looking for those who worship Him, those who love Him, those who desire Him. As David says, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, my heart longs after Him. And so God is looking for those hearts that long after Him, that desire Him, that want Him, that are drawn to Him. And obviously, James says, if we draw near to Him, James 4:8, what? He draws near to us. And so we have to make the choice. It's an attitude of your heart. You make the choice. You cannot ever, please don't ever say to anybody, I didn't feel, I went to church, I didn't feel anything. Well, that is your own secular pagan thinking. You mean God, the awesome divine God, the maker of the universe, the creator of all things, you are bigger than Him. Your feelings are bigger than Him. No ways. Can never be. Not now, not ever. Your feelings can't be bigger than your creator. The created is not bigger than the creator. The creator is always the greater. We, the created, are the lesser. Therefore, when you choose to worship, God will meet with you. Because James 4:8, if you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. That means if you get into his presence will get into you. How many of you listening this morning? Shout amen. Amen. And so don't give that lazy, academic, intellectual, pagan, fallen idea that I didn't feel anything when I went to church. I'll tell you this. You can go to any church on the planet. If you are connected to God, God will be connected to you. It's as simple as that. I hear people, listen. Now, the thing that you can say is, you know, I've been to churches. Sometimes you go, we are forced to go to strange churches because we do weddings and funerals and all of that. I was at a funeral at an Anglican church late last year. And all the fathers were there, old men, old Indian men at the Church of the Epiphany in Chatsworth, and all of them speak Oxford English. But this is strange for me, to see old uncles, they speak Oxford English. If you didn't see, you think he's Mr. Brown from London, you know, because it's strange, it's very strange. The liturgy, I'm not familiar. I've been to Anglican churches many times, but I'm not familiar with the liturgy. But listen, because it's the house of God, I recognize the presence of God. I'm uncomfortable in an Anglican church, but I recognize the presence of God. Are you listening to me this morning? So don't say things that are unbiblical, because this is where we need to reconstruct, reconfigure our thinking. Don't ever say that I went to that church and I didn't feel the presence. No, you don't have to feel. If you draw near to God, He draws near to you. Now, you see, this goes against Pentecostal thinking. Pentecostal thinking is this, and this is a problem I have with religious people, is that because they grew up in an environment of big noise and loud shouting and sometimes it had content, a lot of times it didn't have anything, it was just a loud sounding nothing. So when you go to a church that's quiet, you're looking for the sound. You got used to an environment. Are you listening? You got connected to an environment. You didn't get connected to the source of the sound, God Himself. Are you listening? So get connected to the sound Himself. God is that sound. And you can go anywhere. God is not actually looking for the worship. He's looking for the worshipers. We are not only called to give praise, we are called for praise. We are praise in motion. Are you listening to me? So wherever you go, whether it's a Methodist church, whether it's an Anglican church, or whether it's a Baptist church, or a Pentecostal church, or whatever the church, you are created for praise. Come on, I want you to say, I've been created for praise. You are worship in motion. And so what's up with you? You're not feeling anything. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a chosen generation. You're God's own special people. You may be very far from God. You're backslidden maybe. And you don't know it. You just have the words, but you're denying the power, original intent, purpose, and design. You have a form. Listen, you have a form, there's emptiness because there's no original purpose, design, and intent locked into the form. You have to have a form, which is very important. This building has a form, but this building is nothing if the people that come here don't know God. Because if you draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to you. If you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. Great. Everybody's okay. When we choose to worship, it is always a transformative experience. When we choose worship, it's a transformative experience. Why? It renews our mind. And we are being transformed into the image of God's only Son. That is the template, that is the pattern, that is our goal, that is the model. There is nothing outside of that. There shouldn't be anything. I'm not trying to be like Darlene Chek. Do you understand? She is a great worship leader, but that it ends there. My purpose is to be like God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the model, He is the template, He is the design. If you are excited, somebody say yes. Romans 8:29. Our model is Christ. We want to be like Him, God's only Son. So let me run through some words this morning, and it'll help us to a degree of understanding biblical worship, right? There is such a thing as secular worship, but we are talking about biblical worship. I want you to go back to the text. Not what your grandfather said, not what some holy man somewhere on the planet said. You go to the text. You examine the text and see what it says. We did this word, avodah. Did we do that word? All right. What does avodah mean? It means work. Genesis 2:15, avodah. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work. That word work is the work avodah. Avodah is the most common word in the Bible in Hebrew and has resemblances in Greek in the New Testament of worship. Because everything in our life, from the womb to the tomb, symbolizes worship. There is nothing excluded. There is nothing exempt. So, let me give you some crude examples, and that will demonstrate my point. When you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, you know when you brush your teeth in the morning? We brush our teeth as worship unto God. Are you listening to me? So that is why the teeth, you must do a good job when you brush your teeth. Are you listening? When you make your breakfast in the morning, it says worship unto God. When you are making a breakfast for somebody else, it is as worship unto God. It's your demonstration of worship. When you're leaving for work in your car, it says worship unto God. That is why your car must be cleaned, must look presentable. Why? Not because you're interested in good hygiene and you want people to look at your car. No, your car is a gift from God. And cleanliness is not next to holiness. Cleanliness is holiness. Are you listening to me this morning? So, every detail of our lives, when you log in at work, you should be there at 8 o'clock, but you constantly go late to work, it's a violation of worship. Why? Because if you're a worshiper, you're just not on time to work, you get there earlier than on time. How many of you are listening to me this morning? This is the... See, if I don't tell you this, you get into another mode. Secular, pagan concepts in your head. So every detail in our life, there's a seamless connection right through our life that reflects worship to God. And you know what? When the world... When the planet starts to see what a fine worshiper you are, they'll be attracted to the one that you worship. Because you're excellent in all your ways. You give nothing but your best. That is why when you come to the house of the Lord, you can't bring second best. That is why when you worship God, it's the first, highest priority. You give nothing but your best. Everybody's okay. Good. If you're okay, I'm okay. If you're okay, I'm okay. Title of a book. You're okay, I'm okay. Right. Transactional analysis. Okay. Now, I want you to say Avodah. So we talked about Avodah. Everything is worship. Everything is worship. It's one of the most common words in the Bible concerning worship. Two, I want to talk to you for a moment about Shabbat. Somebody say Shabbat. Shabbat. Let's turn to Psalm 63, verse 3. Psalm 63, verse 3. Okay. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. You see the word glorify? That word glorify is the word Shabbat. Somebody say Shabbat. Now the word Shabbat means that your worship of God is never withdrawn. It is never without expression. It is never without animation. Your worship of God is generally, this is generally, generally has volume. It has its high decibels. Are you listening? It is loud. The tone is loud. So, particularly we come into the house of the Lord, every one of us has different personalities, right? Some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. So when you come into the house of the Lord, or you're in your own closet, if you're an introvert, you're always an introvert. If you're an extrovert, you'll always be an extrovert. Is that true? Yes, no. I'm neither here nor there. I'm sometimes an introvert, sometimes I'm an extrovert. It just depends where I am. If I'm a large group of people, I can become an introvert. You won't hear me. I'll just slide under the chair. They'll ask if Ronald was there. Yes, he was. The register says he was, but nobody saw him. Do you understand? Because I'm an introvert. Sometimes when I come to my own local church, I become an extrovert. It is strange. So, listen. So, the point I want to say to you this morning is sometimes we are still. Be still and know that I am God. The scriptures say that. But it's not our general posture and sound. Generally before God, we have a sense of confidence. We can shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We have a sense of victory. We have total confidence in who God is. We have total confidence in what He can do. We have total confidence and gratefulness and thankfulness and gratitude for what He has already done. And particularly, the finished work of Christ on the cross. That Christ died for me, a sinner. That He died in my place. That He rose on the third day. That He ascended to the heavens. And that someday He'll soon return. And whenever I call on Him, He promised never to leave nor to forsake me. And therefore, based on who He is, I can shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I am not quiet about this. I am not withdrawn about this. I don't want to reserve myself on this. I don't want to cut myself short on this. No, I'm going to give it at full throttle. There's going to be volume. There's going to be decibels, high decibels. I'm going to express this confidence. I'm going to exclaim and glorify him. Shabbat. Everybody's okay. Now, that is, hey, what translation is that? NIV. The NIV, poor translation, right? That because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Your love there is loving kindness. Is loving kindness. That word loving kindness is the Hebrew word kesed. Kesed talks about the mercy and the goodness of God. Listen, I want you to think just for a second about the mercy and the goodness of God in your life. How merciful God has been to you. How good God has been to you. Listen, I can talk to you for the next year on the chesed of God. Chesed, loving kindness. God is extremely good. God is the only one who is forever good. God is extremely merciful. God is the only one who can be merciful. His mercy goes from generation to generation. It's unstoppable. It's never ending. How many of you are excited this morning? Shout amen. Amen. And so David understands chesed. He understands it to such a degree. He understands who he is and who God is to him. He can't keep quiet. He can't keep still. He can't I like you. I love you, Jesus. No, he's going to shout it out. Are you listening to me? When you know that God has redeemed you from the marketplace of sin, you deserve to go to hell, and he redeemed you because of chesed, his loving kindness. You cannot do anything but shout unto him with a voice of triumph. See, but the text in English will never be able to tell you that because it's English. English is a poor language. As much as you think it is so superior. So we exclaim this. We say it in a loud tone. It has loudness. That is why you can't come to church or even in your private closet, you know, like whisper to God. No, God doesn't deserve whispers. We are confident about this one thing, that he who has called us, he's faithful. Because he gives us loving kindness. Are you okay? And what wretched people we are. And in spite of our wretchedness, he gives us grace. In spite of us, he still loves us. How many wrong things we've done in the week? How many times we've failed him? Just think about it. And yet he forgives us. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then you want to, oh, I love you, Jesus. I'm a secret agent. No, you can't be a secret agent here. You're not an undercover cop. You're not in a worship protection program. You understand? I'm in a worship protection program. No. You shout it out. Somebody say shout. And so when we come to church and we are singing, like, I love you, Jesus. I want to sing a song. But I'm so scared. My wife might think. Hey, doesn't worry about it. Listen, because you understand what God has done for you. You understand the extent of your sin, but his grace was more. And you shout it out, Somebody say, shout it out. Shabbat. The next week I see you in church, I don't want you whispering songs. I want you to shout it out with everything that is within me. Does David say that? With everything that is within me. Now, the same people were very quiet in church. They're very quiet because they're in a worship protection program. I watch soccer with them. But they're not in that program. When they're watching soccer, I mean, the manager got fired. The captain got fired. The strikers got fired. The defenders got new people in. But listen, you know, if you fired everybody and you're giving instructions to the old team, your team, and the opposing team, you know, so far you're doing well. You're an armchair, advisor, consultant. But the thing about this is, it's not located in your TV room. Because the neighbors are also listening. It's so loud. You're shabucking. You understand? Your shabuck is so loud, the neighbors know. And the same person who's in the cricket ground or the soccer ground or in their lounge, in their closet, who is so loud, and there's exclamation, there's life, there's a loud tone, there's commendation, there's triumph, there's victory, there's high decibels, there's loud volume and appreciation. Then you bring them to church on a Sunday morning.
I'm in a worship witness program.
Protection program. I don't see the consistency. Are you listening to me? You can shabak when the soccer team is playing. You can shabak when the cricket team is playing. You can shabak when you go to the concert. You don't know how to shabak when you're in the house of the Lord or in your closet. Because there's an error in your thinking. You don't appreciate what Christ has done for you. You don't understand the depth of sin that we've been in and how He has redeemed us from the marketplace of sin, from hell, and how we need to give thanks to Him for that. Are you listening to me? And what has God not done for you? Tell me, what He has not done? Listen, you may list some things, but that doesn't mean it's undone. He's still going to do it. How many of you are listening to me? It just means it's incomplete. He's still going to do it because He can. Yes, He can. Not I can. Yes, He can. And He will do it. He'll confirm His word. Because He is God and not a man that should lie. He'll answer your prayers. Whatever your prayer, God answers prayers. He says yes. He says wait. And He says no. Sometimes He says no, right? You didn't get the job. He said no. Because He answered prayer. Are you listening to me? And so we can learn to shabak. Come on, somebody say shabak. I don't want you to come to church next week and you're in a silent mode. What is that thing? Mute. Hey, thank you, man. I learned a new word. Mute. You're mute. All right, okay. Mute. No, you can't be in shutdown mode. Silent. Only when you're in the house of God. Listen, the same introvert, when he's watching his soccer team, I won't say which team, because I don't want to get into trouble. Which team? Oh, okay. People are saying devilish things, man. yeah. All right. We have to learn to shabak. Loud. Everybody's okay? How you say loud?
Loud.
Now, that word shabak, you got it. It's multiples of times in the Bible. Not once. I'm not talking about once. Multiples of times. I'll tell you next week how many times it's in our scriptures. But because you see it in English, you can't see it. That's why I'm here this morning, right? Okay. Three, the word barak. Somebody say barak. Judges, what do we have? Judges 5:2. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willing offer themselves, praise the Lord. The word praise there, you know the word praise there? Means barak. Barak means to kneel. Somebody say to kneel. But you will not understand. That word barak, to kneel, which is a bad translation, is translated 330 times only in the Old Testament. So every time you're reading some places praise, it means barak. That fellow's name was Barak, the last president. His name was Barak, yeah. To kneel. It means to kneel, to bless the Lord. It means to be a blessing. The underlying tone of Barak is that not just the outward posture of kneeling. We can get trapped by that. And it's a good thing to kneel, right? When you're worshiping, it's a good thing to kneel. Kneeling symbolizes a few things. It symbolizes surrender. It symbolizes you recognizing who God is. That he is everything. He is superior. We are lesser. So we kneel. You kneel before kings. In some African cultures, if you see the, you know, if you go and see the pastor, especially the pastor, the Mfundis, the Muruti, you just don't go and just stand before him. It's construed as being stroppy. You will kneel down before, which is, you know, a crazy culture. You kneel before kings. Everybody's okay. Barak is an act of total humility. I know who God is. My only response in worship to him is total humility. Because he is everything. Somebody say humility. When you come to God, whether you're in private, whether you're in public, whether you're traveling in the car, whether it's the office, you have total humility. Everybody's okay? Say humility. Somebody say Barak. Okay, Barak. Don't say Obama. Right. Yada. The two words that are close to each other is the word yada and the word toda. You can just show that up, Toda, right? These two words have a similarity, Yada and Toda. So let's go to Yada. Genesis 29, the first time it shows up in the Bible, all of these texts I'm showing you is, there's a thing when you are studying, it's called the principle of first mention, right? When it shows up first, anywhere in the Bible, it kind of sets the tone for everything that will come. So it shows up first in Genesis 29 and verse 35. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. This is Leah. How many of you remember Leah? Leah's husband was who? Jacob. Okay. For those of you who don't know, Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel, right? Leah was the lady that he didn't like because Leah was not, Leah was not attractive. She didn't have outward beauty. She was what they'll say, ugly. Rachel was, outwardly, she looked like, a Miss World or winner, whatever. And Jacob despised her. He constantly despised her, right? The scripture, the text is, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, this was her fourth son. She had three sons already. This was a fourth son. This is a very significant son. Because out of the son, this is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Judah is the lineage of Jesus. This time she says, I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Listen, the word yada says you throw up your hand. You shoot it up. You cast your hands upwards. Come on, I want you to do that this morning. I want you to shoot your hands up. Now, both hands, right? Now, some of you have hand problems, I noticed. Right? Keep your hands up. I want you to keep your hands up. Right. So she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will yada. You can see the word praise there? I'll yada the Lord. So she named him Judah. Listen, when you learn to yada the Lord, you'll get the right person. The person, Christ. Whatever you give birth to and post-birth will be connected to Christ. You'll have a Judah experience. Are you listening to me this morning? When you learn to yada. Okay, hands down. For some of you, it would be like a E. Whew. Brothers and sisters, when you throw up your hands, you see your hands raised, if any time, anywhere on the planet, you raise your hands, it's an international intention of surrender. Everybody's okay? In any language, you can go anywhere in the world, you throw up your hands, you are saying, there's nothing on me. I'm surrendered, so please don't shoot me because I am surrendered now. I have no evil, malicious intent towards you. So save me. Hold your horses. International symbol of intent for surrender. Listen, when you throw up your hands in worship, you are saying, I surrender all. I surrender all to him. Jesus, Savior, I surrender all. The intent of your heart is surrender. When you pick your hands up, it's not fashionable. It's saying, I surrender. You're saying, I am grateful for everything you have done for me, Lord. You're saying, I am thankful, even though they hate me. Jacob hated, despised this particular woman, Leah. She was saying, even though my husband hates me, even though I bore him three sons already, and he is not grateful, he is not thankful, he despises me, yet will I praise you. Yet will I give you thanks. I'll surrender to you. I'll surrender to you. And I'll be grateful for everything you have done for me. Listen, David, if you study the life of David, David recognized that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you listening? Therefore, we yada. We give him praise. We give him honor. We give him gratitude and thankfulness. You have a heart of thanksgiving when you lift up your hands. You're saying, I'm surrendering, but I have a heart of gratitude to you, God. In the midst of my difficulty, in the midst of my limitation, in the midst of my sickness, in the midst of my drought, my famine, my hostility, the people around me don't like me. But I'm going to yada you. Everybody's okay? Yada. Yada. I want you to lift up your hands one more time. When you yada, the equivalent in the New Testament is doxa. Means glory. It means that there is a weight, substance, that can be released from the throne of God over you. Are you listening? How many of you want the heavens, the weight of the heavens, to come over you? It's the same attitude of saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the same thing, the same attitude in Genesis 1:21, 1:22, where God blessed everything and he said, be fruitful and multiply. That word blessed there is the same intent. Yada. Everybody's okay. You're okay. You may keep your hands down. I trust when you come next week, you have a reason to raise your hands. Do you have reason to raise your hands? Yes. No, we're not raising our hands because, you know, they asked us or the song said you must raise. No, you can raise your hands anytime. At home, don't raise your hands while you're driving, but please. Yada. Yada. We are totally surrendered to him when we raise our hands. And when we do that, listen, the glory of the Lord will come over you. Glory doesn't mean, you know, things will happen. And people get confused. Glory just means there's a radiance of grace. There's a weight of the heavens. The substance from the heavens is released down to earth. The content of the heavens, God in his mercy releases to ordinary human beings like us. Yada. How many of you want the stuff of the heavens? I want it. Learn to raise your hands. Not as a form, but from your heart. Everybody's okay? Not just a form, just raise, hey, I'll raise my hand, see what happens. No, it's the heart that is surrendered, that's expressed in hands raised. Are you okay? Good. And Toda also has the raised hand. So, Toda is generally the musical outcome of Yada. Everybody's okay with me? Toda is the musical outcome of Yada. So, if we go to Toda, these things I remember as a power of my soul, but I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. That word praise is Toda. The intent of Toda is complete adoration. I recognize him for everything that he is, and I completely adore him. I adore him. Adoration. Everybody say adoration. Come on, wait, one more time, say adoration. The other part of adoration, Toda, is confession. Whenever you see confession in the Bible, it means, it has underneath a meaning of Toda. confession. It means that, see, with the heart we believe. We believe with the heart, right? According to Romans. We believe with the heart, but how do we confess? We confess with the mouth. Are you listening to me? We believe in the heart, but we confess with the mouth. We confess that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord. We confess that he was born of the Virgin Mary. We confess that he lived a sinless life. We confess that he died in our place for our sin. We confess that God raised him up on the third day. We confess that he ascended to the heavens. We confess that he is returning back as king. Confession is made with the mouth. We confess that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. We confess that if God is for us, who can be against us? We confess that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth us. We confess. It's Toda. Are you listening? Confession is Toda. Complete adoration for who he is. Everybody's okay. Adoration. Good.